Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. This morning, we lit the candle of peace, celebrating the anticipation of the coming into the world of the one who is our peace. It was the prophet Isaiah who said several hundred years before the birth of Jesus that one of Jesus' titles will be Prince of Peace. The angels announcing his birth to the shepherds out in the field said, "Peace on earth." And Jesus himself, just a few hours before he would be crucified, said to his disciples, "My peace I give to you." And he contrasted it with the peace of the world, the peace of Christ. So the question for us this morning is this: are we at peace? Are we experiencing the peace of the season, the peace that Christ has brought to us? This may be a season, the season leading up to Christmas, where it is hard to feel peaceful. After all, there are many expectations that surround this time of the year. Christmas is just 2 weeks and 2 days away. And I hear you saying, "And give me those 2 days. I'm going to need those 2 days." We have so much that it goes on in our lives. We have high expectations. We have gifts to buy. We have family arrangements to make. We have meals to plan. And a lot of that is good, and it's wonderful, and it is festive, but it also produces within us worry and anxiety. Sometimes it feels that the coming of the Prince of Peace does more to make us crazy than to give us calm serenity. So, what is the answer? How can we feel at peace when life is busy and we get worried and anxious about things, not just about Christmas, but about many things in life? Unfortunately, it's not just the season of Advent, but all through the year we have things that come into our lives and disturb us. So what's the answer? Do we somehow find a way to handle our expectations in a better way? To find a way to not just get caught up in the madness of the rush of the season, but just kind of try to settle ourselves down? Is that what we're talking about? About feeling a little bit better about things that concern us? Or is there something deeper that Jesus Christ is bringing to us? Is there something more important than just being okay with the sometimes difficult issues of life? Indeed, I believe there is. And we are going to begin exploring what it is that Jesus Christ brings us and what the peace of Christ means by reading the second of four stories that are in the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Four stories. We're reading one each Sunday of Advent as we head toward Christmas. Last week, we read together the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, an elderly couple living in Judea. They had not been able to have children, although they had longed for children. They had prayed for children. The story of an angel, indeed the same angel that appears to Mary in our story today. The angel Gabriel tells Zechariah that even though he and his wife Elizabeth are old, they are going to give birth to a child. Last week we talked about hope. This week we have another announcement, this time to Mary, and I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 1, and we will begin reading in verse 26. And if you're using the Bible in your pew and reading along, you'll find this passage on page 849. And this is what the gospel writer tells us. "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Peace. Was Mary at peace through this conversation with an angel? Certainly, at an emotional level, I highly doubt it. I'm sure that all kind of thoughts were going through her mind as they would have gone through ours if we were in a similar situation. What do you mean? I'm going to have a child. Now is not the right time. Maybe one day in the future it would be wonderful to have children, but not now. I'm not married. If I become pregnant now, what is Joseph going to say? What are my parents going to say? What are the people in our village going to say? They're all going to assume the same thing. If I get pregnant now, that I've been unfaithful. She can't happen but think about those things. Besides, she knows how children are conceived, and she said, "And I am a virgin. How in the world can this happen?" Not only would it be highly troubling and worrisome and anxiety-producing to become pregnant, but how in the world is it even possible? And the angel says that God is going to do this. And then he says something very important. He says, "With God, all things are possible." God loves you, Mary. God favors you. He says that twice to her. God cares about you, Mary, and if God has this in mind for you, it is because he has something good for you. And those things that you're hearing from me that seem to be outside of your experience and outside of your understanding, whether it has to do with the timing or whether it has to do with the mechanism, with how in the world this could ever happen, I'm asking you, essentially, says the angel, to trust God. Because nothing is outside of his ability to make this right for you, to make this right in your life, and through you, to bless the entire world. And so while at perhaps an emotional level, at an immediate reaction level, at a human level, this is highly disturbing and emotionally difficult news to take in, at a deeper level, Mary responds. She moves to the response of faith, to the response that says, "I trust God. I trust God that he desires my good. I trust God that he will not ask me to do something that is not within his good and perfect will for me. And I trust that those things that I don't understand, those things that don't make sense, that God is able to bring them about." And so it is, I believe, at that deeper level that Mary experiences the kind of peace that Christ brings into the world. It is the kind of peace that says to us, do you know how much your Father in heaven loves you? Are you aware of the way in which God is able to take things that appear to you and appear to your fellow human beings to be, well, basically impossible? And he is able to bring about good. He is able to take care of evil that is in the world. In coming into the world, Jesus Christ is himself the peace of God, because he is the evidence of what God is bringing to us, an assurance, an ability to trust. It's Paul who says in Romans chapter 8 that if God, who gave us his only Son to die, if that God says to us that I have only good in mind for you, do you not believe that that is true? That God, when he looks upon us as the human race and he recognizes how our sin has separated us from him, and he knows that that sin separates us for all eternity and there's nothing we can do about it, he says, I will send my Son into the world and he will die on a cross so that your sin may be forgiven. And that which is impossible for you becomes possible through my Son, that is forgiveness of sin and reconciliation with a God that is a forever reconciliation. I will bring you peace. And you will have the opportunity to know that peace, to experience that peace, to be a part of that peace at the very deepest level of your soul, if you trust that what I have done for you in sending my Son into the world is for you. If you place your faith in me and recognize that in the midst of the difficulty and the struggle of what it means to follow Jesus Christ, what it means to humble ourselves and confess our sin, to repent and to turn away from sin. If you're willing to travel that path with me, says God, then my peace will be with you. It will be with you in the narrower focus in terms of what I'm asking of your life, like what God was asking of Mary in this event that we read. But it is also part of the full extent of our lives. Jesus Christ is our peace because he brings to us an understanding of God and an insight into God that we would otherwise not have. Trust me. Believe in me. Be willing to go the path that I have for you. Know that I can do even those things that seem impossible to you. And if you are willing to go that way, then you will experience my peace. Of course, Mary is not the only person in the Bible who has an encounter with God asking of that person to do something difficult, perhaps even impossible sounding, and yet that person trusts God, has faith in God, and moves God's direction and experiences the peace of God. For example, Moses in the Old Testament. Moses is out in the Sinai wilderness minding his own business, taking care of the sheep, raising his family, and doing just fine, thank you. And God shows up in a burning bush and says, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt. I want you to talk to the most powerful person in the world, and I want you to tell him to do something that he absolutely doesn't want to do. And guess what? Because I'm God, he's going to do what you tell him. And Moses says, there is just no way, God. Besides, if I go back there, I'm under a death sentence. I left Egypt because I killed someone and they found out and I had to run for my life. And that was years and years ago. But still, that's not a good, safe place for me to go. And who am I to go to talk to Pharaoh? And there's no way that he is going to listen to someone like me. God says, go. Go anyway. I am with you. I can do this, says God. Actually, you, Moses, aren't doing it. I'm doing it. You're just speaking for me. And Moses, in spite of his doubt, in spite of his anxiety, in spite of his worry, in spite of all the logical reasons for why this is just not a very good idea, he too begins by faith to come alongside God. He finds that he is able to trust God and to believe that God is who he says he is and will do what he says he will do. Moses begins to be at peace at a deep level with this God in whom he puts his trust. And we know the story of how he goes and does exactly what God says. And though it's not easy and it doesn't happen immediately, eventually Pharaoh does precisely what God said that Pharaoh would do, and he lets the people go, and Moses leads them out of captivity in Egypt. And of course, we have Jesus Christ himself. We find Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he will be crucified. He is feeling anything other than peace at the emotional human level. He is so distraught, he is so upset that Scripture says that he is sweating drops of blood. He is not in a happy place in the garden. And yet he prays to his Father and he says, "Your will be done." And he trusts the Father. And he believes the Father when the Father reveals to him in prayer, "My son, this is the only way. This is the only way." And Jesus is at peace. Jesus is at peace in his relationship with the Father, and it is at peace at that deeper level because he trusts in God and he has faith in God that he does go to the cross. Laura and I had been married about 6 months. I was still finishing my senior year in college when Laura came home from the doctor one day and announced, totally unexpected and outside of our plans, that we were pregnant. That is not what we had planned. All kind of reasons for why this was not a good thing. This was bad timing. This was totally unexpected. And it was a difficult thing for us and emotionally troubling. But at a deeper level, and it did take a little while for us to get more in touch with that deeper level, but at a deeper level, Lori and I, who trusted in God, recognized and realized that we can trust him in this also. That God would not have allowed us to become pregnant if it was not for our good. That God would not allow us to become pregnant if somehow this was kind of an oops, you know, this probably isn't a good thing for them. Let's see if we can, you know, what are we going to do now? No, God knew what he was doing even if we didn't. And God had very good reasons for doing things even though they produced within us trouble and anxiety and questions and difficulty. Laura and I both knew the verse, as you all know the verse, Paul's verse, that in all things God works together for our good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. If we're going to say that verse and if we're going to believe that verse, then we need to put it into practice when things don't look so good in our lives. And Laura and I began to do that. And we began to be at peace. Now, no outward circumstances have changed. I'm still in school. We still have no money. We still don't know where we're going to live or what we're going to do. And none of that had changed on the outside. And God was not answering any of those questions in the immediate nature of the situation. But peace began to be a deeper reality because we, by faith, trusted God that he was doing this as a part of his good plan for us. And in 2 days, on Tuesday, we will celebrate the 37th birthday of that unexpected and unplanned pregnancy. We named him Ryan, and he has been a great blessing in our lives. God knew what he was doing. And as is so often the case in the Christian life, when you look back, you see indeed God had our good in mind. And we can be at peace if we live into that goodness. The Apostle Paul writes most of the New Testament. We have 13 letters that Paul wrote to different churches and individuals. And it is clear that Paul went through many kinds of struggles and many difficulties. He was well acquainted with worry and anxiety and hard things in life. Just because he was close to the Lord and called to be an apostle to the Gentiles does not mean that he was exempt. Indeed, he was exposed probably to much more struggle and difficulty and persecution and hard times than any of us will ever come close to experiencing. And yet he writes in his letter to the Christians in Philippi in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, another couple of verses that many of us are familiar with. He says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, make your requests made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." So Paul starts those two verses by saying, don't be anxious. And we can be really glad that Paul doesn't stop there. If he just said, don't be anxious, period, and then moved on to something else, you're going, really? Have you ever had the experience of being in conversation with a friend or a family member and says, you know, I'm really worried about such and such. And the person says, oh, don't worry about that. You walk away feeling great, right? I mean, that's what you needed, right? No, it doesn't help to have someone just say, oh, don't worry. And thankfully, Paul didn't say, oh, don't be anxious. He goes on to tell us how we can deal with anxiety so that it's not an ongoing condition in our life. Don't be anxious. Do what? Pray, supplication, thanksgiving. Three steps. Very practical. And very quickly, this is what Paul is saying to us, how we deal with anxiety in our relationship with God to be able to move to a deeper level of peace with Christ, which is what he talks about in the next verse. First, pray, and thankfully he says, pray about everything. Notice that? Don't be anxious about anything. You don't get to be anxious about anything. You don't get to go and go, God, I think I should have an exemption for this situation. I think I should be able to be anxious about this because, you know, it really is a bad situation. No, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, pray. In everything, pray. Nothing is too small to take to God in prayer. You know, sometimes I've heard Christians say that, oh, I can't bother God with that. That's just not important enough. I'll just wait until something really important happens, then I'll pray. This, you know, I know God would. Let me ask this question if you've had that thought. What is big to God? What can you bring to God where God's going to say, oh my goodness, I can't believe that's going on in your life. We need to do something about that. I mean, is anything big to God? God could say, let me share a few stories with you in the Bible if you think your thing is big. There's some big stuff in here. No, nothing is big to God in that sense. Everything is small, so don't worry about it. God won't be offended if you bring little things to him because they're all little to him anyway. So pray about everything and then pray with supplication. What supplication means is keep on praying while the situation persists. If you're worried about something, if you have anxiety about something in your life, don't throw up one quick prayer and go, okay, I prayed about it, now let's see what happens. As long as you're still worried, as long as you're still experiencing anxiety, as long as you are still desiring that deeper sense of peace, keep praying. That's what supplication means. As long as this is going on, keep praying. So pray, keep praying as long as the situation persists. As long as you're having the same kind of anxiety and you're not yet experiencing that peace. And then third, with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving means looking forward with confidence to what God is going to do to grant you peace. That's thanksgiving. Some people say it means to be thankful for the troubling situation. I don't think that's what Paul means. Thanksgiving is saying, thank you, God, that you are a part of my life, that you know about this in my life, that this is for my good, even though I don't see it, and it's actually creating a lot of worry. Thank you that you are going to bring peace into my life because of this. It's praying with confidence. Pray, keep on praying, and express your confidence, your trust in God. And what you're doing is you're expressing your faith. And what Paul says, once you start doing that, then the peace of God will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Why your hearts and your minds? Because your heart is anxious. You got all that, the stirred up emotion. Your mind is frantic with thoughts about what you're going to do and how you're going to fix it and what's going to happen. And all this stuff is going on. And your heart and your mind has a tendency to drift away from any sense of peace, any sense of trust, any sense of faith, and you're just getting all worked up in your own stuff. And what Paul is saying is what God's going to make sure is that your heart and your mind are being kept in the peace of Christ. That your heart and mind, the actual word there is that it will guard your heart and mind. That is, it'll guard it from pulling you away from God, from bringing you into a situation where you just can't find any peace in that circumstance. Pray, keep on praying, and pray with thanksgiving for what God is going to do, what he's going to reveal, how he's going to show you in his time that he is working all things together for good. Because you love him and you're called according to his purpose. And the peace of God, that deep peace, will begin to be a part of your life. As it was for Moses, as it was for Mary, even as it needed to be for Jesus, the Son of God. If he needed that kind of engagement with his Heavenly Father, certainly you and I need it as well. So as we are in this Christmas season, as we are moving towards Christmas Day, celebrating the birth of the Prince of Peace, let us in a practical way put into operation what Paul is encouraging us to do, and let us recognize in the story of Mary an exemplar, a young woman, amazingly young, who hears this news of what God has in store for her. And with God's help and with the angel's assurance that all things are possible for God, she was able at a deep level to be at peace. And she gave birth to the Savior of the world. Moses was at peace and he led the children of God out of Egypt. Jesus was at peace and he went to the cross and he died so that you and I could be saved. And so our prayer this Christmas season is that we may be at peace, that we may have our hearts and our minds guarded in Christ Jesus, so we may do those things that he calls us to do, that we may serve him, and that indeed we may trust that all will be as he promises. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these stories that Luke gives us in his gospel. And especially today, we thank you for the story of Mary, a young woman, really a girl, who gets some incredible news, some unbelievable, literally, news. And yet, because she trusts in you, even at her young age, and because she believes the word of the angel that you are God and all things are possible for you, she accepts it. In the midst of all the anxiety and worry that must have been a part of that news and all the reasons for why this was not a good thing for her, she still is willing to say, "May it be as you, God, have ordained." She was at peace with you. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we may be at peace with you in this season as well. That we won't seek peace just at kind of an artificial, surface emotional level where we manipulate some of the expectations and just try not to get so upset about things, but Lord, at a deeper level, at that level of our faith and of our relationship with you, that we would follow Paul's guidance. That we would bring everything to you in prayer, no matter how small. That we would keep praying about those things as long as they're continuing to produce worry and anxiety within us. And that we would be grateful, looking ahead to something that we may not have yet, but saying, "God, you promised me peace, and I'm looking forward to you doing in my life what you've promised. In the meantime, I will keep praying, and I will keep looking to you." And we pray, Lord, that our hearts and our minds may be guarded in Christ Jesus, that our hearts and our minds may not become so emotionally upset and so frantic in our thinking that we are drifting away, trying to solve everything ourselves and manipulate our circumstances in our own strength and ability, but trust you that you will bring all things together. That is your promise, and that is your ability, as impossible as it seems to us. May that be our experience this Christmas. May that be the peace of Christ in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.